dying blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. Oh, I'm blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. I've been reading for some time now from my new book, How You Can Pray in the End of Days and My Call to Help the Prayers. I'm now reading from the chapter entitled Our Ministry in the Heavenlies, and I'm going to quote from Macmillan's book, The Authority of the Believer. John Macmillan's book is so outstanding that for the rest of this chapter, I'm quoting from it. I'm not using this. The following to the end of this chapter is quoted verbatim, just in case. Quote, The Authority of the Believer, John A. Macmillan, portions of pages 5 through 23. When the Lord Jesus, the captain of our salvation, was raised from the dead, the act of resurrection was accomplished through, quote, the exceeding greatness of God's power, dunamis, to usward who believe, according to the working, energeion, of the strength, kratos, of his might, ischios. In this working, there was such a putting forth of the divine omnipotence that the Holy Spirit, through the apostle, requires four Greek words to bring out the thought. Their combination signifies that behind the fact of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, there lay the mightiest working recorded in the Word of God. Having been thus raised from among the dead, Christ Jesus was exalted by God to his own right hand in the heavenlies. The resurrection had been opposed by the tremendous powers of the air. All principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world or age, but also in that which is to come. The evil forces of the age to come had been arrayed against the purpose of God. They had, however, been baffled and overthrown, and the risen Lord had been enthroned far above them, ruling with the authority of the Most High. To usward who believe, all the demonstration of the glory of God shown in the manifestation of his omnipotence pointed manward. The cross of Christ, with what it revealed, shows us a representative man overcoming for mankind and preparing through his own incumbency a throne and a heavenly ministry for those who should overcome through him. Christ and his people were raised together. The reviving of Christ expresses also the reviving of his people. That is to say, the very act of God which raised the Lord from among the dead raised also his body. Head and body are naturally raised together. Christ the head, his body the church, ecclesia, the assembly of believers in him. Ephesians lifts the believer with the ascended Christ to the heavenlies, where he is made a partaker of God's throne. The location of authority. Through the elevation of the Lord's people with their head, they are made to sit with Christ in the heavenlies. Christ's seat is at the right hand of God. His people, therefore, occupy with him the same august position. This honor is not to a chosen few, but is the portion of all those who share the resurrection of the Son of God. It is the birthright of every true believer, of every born-again child of God. The right hand of the throne of God is the center of power of the whole universe, and the exercising of the power of the throne was committed unto the ascended Lord. The elevation of his people with him to the heavenlies has no other meaning than that they are made sharers of the authority which is his. They are made to sit with him, that is, they share his throne. To share a throne means, without question, to partake of the authority which it represents. Indeed, they have been thus elevated in the plan of God for this very purpose, that they may even now exercise to the extent of their spiritual apprehension authority over the powers of the air and over the conditions which those powers have brought about on the earth and are still creating through their ceaseless manipulations of the minds and circumstances of mankind. Rebel holders of authority. It is necessary to state here what is commonly understood by those who carefully study the word, that the kingdoms of this world are under the control and leadership of satanic principalities. The great head of these is, in the Gospel of John, three times acknowledged as Prince of this world by our Lord himself. His asserted claim to the suzerainty of the world kingdoms made in the presence of the Lord Jesus was not denied by Christ, Luke 4:6. Although a rebel against the Most High and now under judgment of dispossession, he is still at large. And as the masses of mankind are also rebels, he maintains over them an unquestioned because unsuspected rule, their eyes being blinded to his dominance. The divine purpose of the ages. The God of the whole earth does not purpose to tolerate forever this rebellion against his righteousness. God, having redeemed a people and purified them, has introduced them potentially into the heavenlies. This purpose, present and future, is very definitely stated in Ephesians 3:9 through 11 as the divine will that now, in this present time, unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God. The church is to be God's instrument in declaring to these rebellious and now usurping powers the divine purpose. This is further declared to be, quote, according to the eternal purpose of the ages which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, Ephesians 3:11. God, through all the ages past, has had in view this wonderful plan of preparing in Christ Jesus a people chosen and called and faithful, whom he might place in these heavenly seats to rule even through the ages to come. Far above, Christ sits far above all. He fills all in all, but has chosen to do so through his body. Under his feet, he hath put all things under his feet. Ephesians 1:22. The feet are members of the body. How wonderful to think that the least and lowest members of the body of the Lord, those who in a sense are the very soles of the feet, are far above all the mighty forces we have been considering. Yet so it is. What need for the church to awake to an appreciation of her mighty place of privilege, exalted to rule over the spiritual powers of the air, how often she fails in her ministry of authority, or grovels before them in fear. Head over all things to the church which is his body, Ephesians 1:22. We have little grasped the force of this marvelous truth. Let us reverse the words to bring out more clearly their deep significance. Head to the church over all things. His being head over all things is for the church's sake, that the church, his body, may be head over all things through him. We need to sit reverently and long before these mighty truths, that their tremendous meaning may grasp our hearts. In this attitude, the Spirit of truth can lift us into their comprehension, when the human mind alone will always fail to compass the failure of the church. Why, then, is there not more manifest progress? Because a head is totally dependent upon its body for the carrying out of its plan. The Lord Jesus is hindered in his mighty plans and working because his body has failed to appreciate the deep meaning of his exaltation and to respond to the gracious impulses which he is constantly sending for its quickening. God help us to realize this and to fulfill our ministry through the word, both to others and to the Lord. Chapter 19, How to Do Ministry in the Heavenlies. Many times when someone describes to me how devils are having high carnival in their lives, I give them Macmillan's book and I tell them, read this book and do page 27. So first of all, page 27, I'm quoting verbatim. Quote, "Do we believe that God has quickened us together with Christ and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? If we do, our reaction to it will be a fervent, quote, Lord, I accept thy gracious word. I believe that thou hast thus wrought for me. In humble faith I do now take my seat in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus at thy right hand. Teach me how to fulfill this sacred ministry, how to exercise the authority which thou hast entrusted to me. Train me day by day that I may attain to the full stature of the perfect man in Christ, so that in me thy purpose of the ages may be fulfilled. Amen." If we are walking in the Spirit, our normal life is in the heavenlies. To secure the consciousness of this, there must be the daily acceptance of the fact. Let us, morning by morning, as one of our first acts of worship, take our seat with Christ and return thanks to God for all that it implies. Let us often remind ourselves that we are seated far above all the powers of the air and that they are in subjection to us. As our faith learns to use the name and the authority of Jesus, we shall find the spiritual forces yielding obedience in ways that will surprise us. As we continue to abide closely in Him, our prayers for the advancement of the kingdom will become less and less the uttering of petitions and will increasingly manifest the exercise of a spiritual authority that binds the forces of darkness. End quote. Tomorrow, I'm going to begin with what I begin with almost every morning of my life. I'm going to show you how that I take my place and do my ministry in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. When I do this in the mornings, when I rule and reign over Satan and the kingdom of darkness, I know that my four children, I know that their spouses, my grandchildren, me, spirit, soul, and body, that we're under the blood, and I command Satan not to touch us. You have to take authority. It's something you have to do. You can take authority in your town, in your city. You don't have to have a shooting at your school. God told Rachel Tufteller after the Columbine shooting, if the people will take their authority, he said they kicked me out of schools, but if the people will take their authority, if they'll go round the schools and draw a bloodline every day, there'll never be a shooting in their school. It's up to you and me what happens in our towns, in our cities, in our homes. And so, all of these things are written for you in my new book, How You Can Pray in the End of Days. And one of the most important things to do is to use your authority. You can write us at Billy Brim, Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615 for $10. Plus shipping, we'll send you a book. Or you can call us at 1-800-972-3447 or go online, BillyBrim.org. Remember to come back here tomorrow and you're going to see how I begin almost every day of my life taking authority over the kingdom of darkness so that he cannot touch me or mine. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Shalom.